Hello, this is Matthew Tombers, and you're listening to WGXC, Acre, Catskill, Hudson.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. And today we're going to hear from Liz Moran from Earth Justice about how the New York State Legislature passed a bill to impose a 2-year moratorium on new cryptocurrency mining last week. And we'll see if Governor Kathy Hochul signs the bill. Plus, on the WGXC Morning Show, we'll also hear national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And it all starts after the local news, which is next. Stay tuned.
This is the network. Network. On waves controlled on air, in air, channel connection, and the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
After the recent murders of many African-American grocery shoppers in Buffalo and elementary school children in Texas, the March for Our Lives group is organizing protest marches all over the country on Saturday, June 11th. There are two, at least, scheduled so far locally, one in Albany and one in Saugerties, both stepping off at 10:30 a.m. There's more information on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org, and we'll add other local marches as they are added to the national map.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by SunCommon, supporting vibrant communities across New York for 15 years, offering custom solar installations for homes, farms, and businesses. Information at suncommon.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of One Universal Media of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. Chris Bragg reports for the Times Union that the state legislature passed a bill last week characterized by opponents as the largest industry-specific tax break ever granted by New York's government. The measure was adopted with little public debate and near the end of the legislative session. Once signed into law, it would provide large private businesses up to $10 billion in state tax credits over 20 years to promote the growth of new so-called green semiconductor manufacturing projects. The legislation was introduced at the request of Governor Kathy Hochul's office, approved by the Senate on June 1st and by the Assembly on June 4th, before it adjourned. Watchdog groups have questioned why the bill, regardless of its merits, was hastily pushed by Hochul's office. Quote, "This is like the ugliest of Albany," unquote, said John Caney, executive director of Reinvent Albany. Quote, in this type of fog, the governor's office can misinform the legislature and do it all in the last second," unquote, Kristen DeVoe, a spokesperson for the Empire State Development, the governor's economic development arm, said the bill's late session introduction was simply a matter of the proposal being, quote, developed very recently, unquote. She said the legislation was a way to capitalize on the anticipated passage of a bill introduced by U.S. Senator Charles Schumer in Congress to expand semiconductor production nationwide, putting New York, quote, in the best position to stand apart from the other states and countries who are trying to attract the semiconductor industry, unquote. The assembly passed the measure using a, quote, fast roll call, unquote, where lawmakers are assumed to be in the affirmative unless they indicate otherwise. The only person recorded in the negative at the time of the vote was Queens Assemblymember Ron Kim, a Democrat. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
New York State of Politics reports about the bills passed by the state legislature in the final moments of its 2022 session on June 2nd. Among the measures passed, people who wish to obtain a semi-automatic rifle will be required to first obtain a permit and be at least the age of 21. Legislators outlawed the purchase or the possession of bulletproof vests. Guns will be micro-stamped to make them more traceable, and social media platforms will be required to maintain ways of reporting hateful behavior. Lawmakers passed a 2-year moratorium on a specific type of cryptocurrency mining. They passed added legal protections for abortion providers and shielded women from other states seeking abortions in New York against extraditions and arrests. Read more about these stories at New York State of Politics.
Porcupine Soup reports that Cornell Cooperative Extension of Columbia and Greene County's Board of Directors named Lisa Galina Executive Director effective June 6th. As an educator and community program director, Galina has worked with the CCE Association statewide. Her experience managing multiple sites for colleges, the Department of Defense, and nonprofit organizations across New York, quote, will help bring strong leadership and partnership experience to the association, unquote, according to the board. Billy Greer, board president, said, quote, we are thrilled to have Lisa join us. She was unanimously selected from a nationwide search, and we look forward to working closely with her to help CCE make a difference in Columbia and Greene counties, unquote. Galina will manage day-to-day operations in the CCE Hudson and Acre offices. She will be responsible for maintaining and expanding CCE's area of programming, including agriculture and natural resource, climate change and the environment, family and consumer sciences, community horticulture, 4-H and youth development, as well as the management of the state-funded Taste NY store at the Capital Region Welcome Center in New Baltimore. Galina succeeds Executive Director Yvonne Antonia. Antonio will remain on staff for the near future to provide support as Galina transitions into her new role. Read more about this story at porcupinesoup.com. Mid-Hudson News reports that Governor Kathy Hochul has made it official. On June 4th, Hochul issued a proclamation declaring that special elections be conducted to fill the vacancies in the 19th and 23rd congressional districts on August 23rd. Special elections will fill the vacancies created by the resignations of Antonio Delgado and Tom Reed. Delgado, a Democrat, was appointed New York's lieutenant governor last month, replacing Brian Benjamin, who resigned in April following his indictment on bribery and fraud charges. Republican Reed, who previously announced he was not running for re-election in the fall, resigned amid sexual harassment claims in early May. Quote, with the resignations of Congress members Delgado and Reed, I am declaring a special election to fill these vacancies and ensure continued representation for the residents of the 19th and 23rd congressional districts, unquote. Hochul wrote in the proclamation. Ulster County Executive Pat Ryan, a Democrat, faces Dutchess County Executive Mark Molinaro, a Republican, in the 19th district special election to serve the remainder of Delgado's term. Read more about this story at MidHudsonNews.com.
Philip Pantuso reports in the Times Union that a new vacancy study says Kingston is now qualified to become the first municipality north of the New York City suburbs to opt into the State Emergency Tenant Protection Act. The study conducted by the city found a rental vacancy rate of 1.57% and home values have increased nearly 50% since the start of the pandemic. So Kingston now could adopt rent stabilization on buildings constructed before 1974 with 6 or more units under guidelines set forth by the state's Emergency Tenant Protection Act. In 2021,
An Ulster County Rental Housing Survey showed a vacancy rate of 1.81% for non-subsidized housing in the county. The housing problem? Not enough houses or apartments are available, and they are too expensive, is prevalent throughout the Hudson Valley. Rashida Tyler, a housing organizer who helps run the Ulster County Coalition for Housing Justice, said, and I quote, "My hope is that this evidence validates the experiences of Kingston residents and that action can be taken quickly to help those who are being priced out of their homes every day by speculatory rent increases," end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Amelia Teasdale reports for the Columbia paper that the proposed $11 million visitor welcome facility at Olana State Historic Site is currently in the State Environmental Quality Review Act process and was unveiled to the public at a virtual meeting recently. Linda Cooper, Regional Director of the New York State Office of Parks, Recreation, and Historic Preservation, said in the SEQR document, and I quote, "No red flags that have been raised so far," end quote. The new visitor entry and orientation facility, if approved, will be off Route 9G and would include a 45-spot parking lot, bathrooms, and a cafe. About 3.5 acres of trees would be cleared for the 4,500 square feet building. The building will be made from sustainable materials, is all electric, and carbon neutral with an electric car charging station. Read more about this story in the Columbia paper.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC Renewable Weather Forecast. And if you are considering switching to renewable rather than fossil fuels, it might be because of the high price of gas. Right now, Gas Buddy says the lowest price of gas in Greene County is $4.69 a gallon. That's at the Mobil in Palinville. And maybe it's because all those fossil fuels are heading up into the environment. You have to breathe them in. And the air quality is never that good around here. It's at 28 prediction for Monday, June 6th. And the National Weather Service in Albany predicts on Monday, June 6th, it'll be mostly sunny, good for the local solar panels, with a high near 76 and a southeast wind spinning local windmills 3 to 8 miles per hour. Monday night should be partly cloudy with a low around 56 and a south wind from 8 miles per hour. Tuesday, there's a 30% chance of showers after 2 p.m. Before that, it'll be partly sunny with a high of 74 and a south wind 9 to 15 miles per hour with gusts as high as 26 miles per hour. So local windmills have it especially good on Tuesday. Tuesday night, there's a 70% chance of showers and possibly thunderstorms before 8 p.m. with a south wind 9 to 13 miles per hour and a low around 59 forecast. Wednesday, again, there's a 50% chance of rain, with thunderstorms also possible after 11 a.m. and cloudy skies, a high of 73 and a low around 59. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, solar-powered radio for open ears. Tune in all sorts of creative community voices on the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, on Monday, June 6th, including at 9 a.m. on the WGXC Morning Show. We'll hear from Liz Moran of Earth Justice discussing how New York passed a moratorium on cryptocurrency mining last week. We'll also hear at 10 a.m. it's time for the Afrosonic Taxi with music from Juanita Yuka, Desiree Duof, and Elzalite Reda, among others. At 11 a.m., Brandon Donegan is playing favorites live from the WGXC Hudson Studio in the basement of the First Presbyterian Church. He'll play music from Paisley Field, Steve Grand, the Indigo Girls, and others. At noon, it's time for the Deep Threes program with Federico Ugi, Kamisi Washington, Square Pusher, among the featured artists today. At 2 p.m. on the Vital Weekly Show, there's brand new music from around the world, including from Martina Verhoeven, Marta Wehrlis, and Wilhelm Bromander. At 4 p.m., we're live from Housatonic with the WGXC Afternoon Show and Kieran Riley. And at 10 p.m., we're live from Acre with the Radiant Point Show and Nick and Lisa from Palinville on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.
Get a local event mentioned on All Together Now. Go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
The legendary 1970s, early 1980s band Bush Tetras from New York City are back with founding members Cynthia Slay and Pat Place performing with R.B. Corbett from King Missile and Pussy Galore and Steve Shelley from Sonic Youth on a tour this summer that stops in Kingston on July 23rd at Tubby's. The show is at 8 p.m. July 23rd with the Bush Tetras, and you can find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org.
Early Electromix is a series to document the history of experimental electronic music from the 50s to the 80s. Pioneers who paved the way for what was to become techno, ambient, electronica, and most of what we are listening to. Essential Culture on air every Tuesday from 11 to 12 a.m.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Monday, June 6th. 43% of the way through the year, early morning temperatures range from 51 degrees in New Baltimore to 54 in Lamontville. Soil is 61 degrees. 15 days left until summer proper. A nice Monday ahead. A high of 81 happens at 3 p.m. Dew points in the 50s will keep it feeling comfortable. Overnight temperatures fall to 55 degrees. Another night of good sleeping weather. Tuesday, we see a high of 76 around 3 p.m. Some gusty wind will be around at that time. After 4 p.m., chances of rain enter the area and continue all night as temperatures fall to 65 degrees. Wednesday, more rain, a high of 77, small potential for an afternoon storm. Thursday is still looking wet with a high of 74. Pollen levels for today will be medium high with hickory, oak, and grasses being the heavy hitters. Today's tide schedule is low tide at 2:07 a.m., high tide at 8:07 a.m., low tide again at 3:21 p.m., then high tide once again at 9:19 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 73 degrees. Sunset today will be at 8:13 p.m., and sunrise tomorrow will be at 8:15 a.m. Looking way up, we see things are pretty quiet, save for a daytime meteor shower. With an origin of 20 degrees away from the sun, people aren't going to see it, but radio operators could detect a lot of scatter. Solar wind speed is currently 262 kilometers per second at 14.3 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 4 megahertz till dark, then fair below 15 megahertz overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 2. Quiet. The current sunspot number is 57. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Bill Mancini and Bernadette Powis of Kinderhook, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Why did you say that? Aloha out there in Radio Land.
Hey, this is Andy, host of Crawl Out from the Fallout with Raven Sings the Blues. The show is a monthly roundup of new music, plumbing psych, folk, cosmic Americana, indie, garage, and exploratory titles alongside enough classic gems to hold it all together like glue. You can tune into the show every second Tuesday of the month from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Survive All, one of the nation's leading manufacturers of fallout shelters, now combines sturdy steel with durable concrete block for
a civil defense approved basement type do-it-yourself fallout shelter.
Ensure protection for your family. See a Survive All shelter today.
Child at a door. beginning, I didn't think anyone could hurt you. Do her thing. She can't change for you. Let her be. Let her be. Let her be free. She's not strange. You can't change her. She has to do her thing. Sneak off on an adventure. Comes tomorrow, we'll watch the dawn. The delicate fall. Delicate
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
Our nation is reeling from not just the recent mass shootings in Buffalo and Uvalde, but we had just two. It's just unconscionable. Our nation is hurting. Our children are hurting.
That's Miami Mayor Francis Juarez commenting on shootings since Uvalde that left at least six dead in Pennsylvania, South Carolina, and Tennessee. He spoke at the U.S. Conference of Mayors annual meeting, where Vice President Kamala Harris called for tougher gun laws.
No 86-year-old should fear for her safety to go to the grocery store. No 9-year-old should be afraid to go to school. And no 18-year-old should be able to buy a weapon of war.
A package of gun control bills is expected to reach the House floor this week. Bipartisan Senate negotiations are focusing on reforming gun rules and investing in mental health. Sunday, U.S. Surgeon General Dr. Vivek Murthy told the mayors there is a medical and moral obligation to face what he called a crisis in the people's mental health.
It doesn't just affect how they feel. It affects their physical health. It affects productivity in the workplace, how kids perform in school. It affects also civic engagement and people's participation in communities. And it affects our ability to dialogue with one another.
Murthy called for increased access to treatment and more investments in prevention. The House Select Committee is gearing up for its first public hearing set for primetime Thursday. Democrat Adam Schiff of California hinted more details will come out about the run-up to the U.S. Capitol attack on January 6, 2021. Meanwhile, while pleading not guilty to two counts of contempt of Congress, former Trump advisor Peter Navarro accused the committee of conspiring against him.
Instead of calling me and say, hey, we need you down at court, we've got a warrant for you, I would have gladly come. What did they do? They intercepted me getting on the plane, and then they put me in handcuffs, they bring me here, they put me in leg irons. They stick me in a cell.
Navarro is accused of ignoring a subpoena. In election news, hedge fund manager David McCormick conceded the Pennsylvania Republican Senate nomination to TV doctor Mehmet Oz. The celebrity and patent medicine pitchman was leading a recount by fewer than 1,000 votes. The 2022 midterms continue tomorrow with primaries in California, Iowa, Mississippi, Montana, New Jersey, New Mexico, and South Dakota. Maine holds its primary on the 14th, and Governor Janet Mills says they are on heightened alert to keep their elections safe.
From combating misinformation to advancing new cybersecurity protocols, voters must be able to make informed decisions and have faith in the integrity of the voting process. Our very democracy is at stake.
In an ABC News poll, voters say the top three most important issues for them now are the president's handling of the economy, inflation, and high gas prices. In all three areas, a majority disapproved of Biden's performance. I'm Mary Sherman for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our eTrust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
I'm Tom Rowe at Wave Farm with the Daily Radio News. Sharon Harding reports for Ars Technica that New York State Legislature on June 3rd passed the Digital Fair Repair Act, a bill requiring digital electronics manufacturers, such as laptop and smartphone manufacturers, to make diagnostic and repair information available. Consumers will be allowed to fix many radio-related items or have them fixed at independent repair shops instead of being forced to buy a new model or go without. Medical devices, home appliances, agriculture, and off-road equipment or public safety communications equipment is exempt from this bill, so John Deere tractors and dishwashers still can't be fixed by consumers in New York if Governor Kathy Hochul signs the bill. Quote, nothing prevents third-party repairers from being technically competent to complete digital repairs other than the lack of information being withheld by manufacturers, unquote, the bill states. Quote, in too many instances, repairs of digital items are intentionally limited by the manufacturer, unquote. New York Assemblymember Patricia Fahey said the bill would, quote, help to reduce the 655,000 tons of toxic e-waste produced and typically discarded in a single calendar year here in New York State, unquote. A previous study from the U.S. Public Interest Group predicted that the average New York family would save around $330 per year and reduce electronic waste by 22%, with the right to repair. Now, right to repair advocates hope other bills like this one will be passed elsewhere. Read more about this story at Ars Technica and go to the newsroom at wavefarm.org for more radio news. Here is 2022 new music from Ghost Power from their named after themselves album. This is called Panic in the Isles of Splendor.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
We're joined today by Liz Moran, who is the New York policy advocate for environmental justice. And we're actually speaking what's supposed to be now the last day of session, Friday, June 3rd. And the big news in terms of climate was after many times being written off for the dead, the proposal to put a two-year moratorium on the proof-of-work cryptocurrency mining new expansion. Amazingly, has passed. Both houses of the legislature passed the Senate, I guess it's about 2 o'clock in the morning on the last day of the Senate. So we're joined by Liz Moran, who's one of the main organizers with Earth Justice, put this whole thing together. Liz, how the heck did you do this, and what does the bill actually do?
Well, thanks so much, Mark. This is a huge victory, and it is due to the nonstop, tireless energy and efforts of the advocacy community, of everyday New Yorkers who spoke up and had their voices heard. We had hundreds of calls going into the Senate Majority Leader urging for action on this legislation. So this legislation, in its heart, is about the future of fossil fuel plants in New York State. Unfortunately, we have a couple examples here in New York where proof-of-work crypto miners have revitalized and extended the life of dying fossil fuel power plants for their own private gain. And we're at a place in New York where we need to be moving away from fossil fuel plants entirely. Just last summer, DEC denied the air permits for Danskammer Power Plant and the Astoria Power Plant, and we have to keep that momentum up. So this legislation makes sure that for 2 years, we aren't issuing air permits for fossil fuel power plants that house crypto mining operations. This is a major win, and we're urging Governor Hochul to sign it rapidly.
When you get this type of major campaign that particularly at the last moment picks up a huge amount of momentum against a lot of opposition, and I hear that the legislature was swarming with the paid lobbyists of the cryptocurrency industry, obviously one of the things that's first sacrificed is truth, and there's a lot of misinformation that went on about what this bill does and does not do. Can you maybe just quickly address what were some of the most common misperceptions that need to be clarified?
We're so thankful that the legislature stood up in the face of these tremendous industry lies and spending to pass this legislation. The crypto industry that was opposing this bill consistently presented it as an outright ban on cryptocurrency, an outright ban on crypto mining. They said it would kill the crypto industry in New York. And they spent somewhere to the tune of $1.2 million in a lobbying blitz against this bill. It's total lies. What this legislation does is it just addresses fossil fuel power plants that are used for crypto mining, and it directs the Department of Environmental Conservation to conduct a review about proof of work crypto mining to make sure that if this process was to move forward in New York, that it doesn't jeopardize our climate goals. You know, the industry is always saying, we're going to be a green industry, we're generating renewables. So they should walk the talk here. We don't know why they fought this bill so hard if they are so committed to moving to renewables.
One of the things you mentioned is the next step is for Governor Hochul to sign the bill. Hochul, of course, is in a very, very short period of time developed a reputation as a fast fundraiser from those who are seeking to influence state government. Have your lobbyists give me a lot of money, and then maybe the door will be open. Have we heard much yet from the Hochul administration about whether they're going to stand up to the cryptocurrency industry and sign this bill?
You know, we're encouraged that the governor will sign this legislation, and she has no reason not to. This is a very balanced piece of legislation. We're already working to put out fossil fuels in New York State, and this legislation just helps us stay in that trajectory. while also making sure that the state does a review and we aren't ramping up energy consumption in such a way that we won't be able to get enough renewables online for our energy goals. So this is a very reasonable and measured approach. Governor Hochul should not hesitate to sign this. She should listen to the will of New Yorkers that got this bill through and sign it immediately.
Now, one of the ironic things is why a lot of the publicity and education work focus on the situation with Bitcoin operation at Greenridge out there on Seneca Lake. This bill actually does not apply to that bill, to that particular proposal or plan, because it's about moving forward where they're already in the pipeline, so to speak. So what's this next step on with Greenwich?
Yeah, so that's exactly right. This legislation doesn't have any impact on the existing facilities that have went ahead and repowered these fossil fuel power plants. So right now we're waiting on the Hochul administration to come down with a decision on the air permit for the Greenwich facility out on Seneca Lake and urging her to deny that air permit. Governor Hochul unfortunately had the opportunity to make a decision on this air permit several times. And the new deadline that was announced by DEC was June 30th. So we're hoping that no later than June 30th, Governor Hochul and DEC will deny this air permit and put forward by signing this legislation, a moratorium on fossil fuel power plants for crypto miners and get that environmental review started by DEC.
Assuming that Governor Hochul does sign this bill, this is probably going to be about the biggest win that the climate movement got in this legislative session. There are some other bills that are passing that have, you know, real good climate potential, but some of the big name campaigns, particularly, you know, banning gas and new construction and public power, though public power is still open as we talk, seems unlikely to actually pass. So, you know, how was this session for climate? What do we do moving forward to improve the situation?
This legislation to address fossil fuel plants for cryptocurrency mining was so important to make sure that we don't undercut our climate law, to make sure that we actually don't go backwards here. This is why so many advocates have been rightfully calling this Governor Hochul's new fracking moment. Cryptocurrency mining operations expand the way they say they want to. That energy demand could be the equivalent to powering 750,000 homes, which is double the size of the city of Buffalo. So this is really a protective measure. But what we're missing in Albany still are policies that put us on the path forward, that get us towards more renewable energies, that get us off of fossil fuel reliance, which is why it's so disappointing that the legislature and the governor didn't come together for legislation like the All Electric Buildings Act. There were some other important bills that passed, but we are expecting much more from our legislature here. We're expecting much more of the governor. We have one of the most ambitious and important climate laws in the country on the books. We have to start passing policies to make sure we meet those mandates.
You mentioned the CLCPA climate law. As we know, the state just extended the comment period for their draft plan to, I believe, July 1st. We already have over 18,000 comments. If people do want to find out more what Earth Justice is doing, impact upon climate, or perhaps contact Governor Hochul and say, hey, here's my position on this cryptocurrency moratorium bill. How do they get all that information?
Yes. So listeners can learn more about Earth Justice by visiting earthjustice.org and going to our website to learn more about the issues we work on, like addressing proof of work crypto mining and so much more to get New York and the country off of fossil fuels. Listeners should absolutely call Governor Hochul and voice their support for this bill and getting it signed. It's Senate Bill 6486D. They should urge her to sign it immediately and to deny the air permits for the Greenwich and Fortistar facilities. And we are calling for New York State to lead in meeting its climate mandates. The scoping plan process you mentioned, Mark, is one that we are really paying attention with. And we want to make sure that New York State adopts a bold plan for meeting these goals.
We're out of time. Congratulations to Liz Moran, New York policy advocate for Earth Justice. And this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Stated that absolute uniform motion cannot be detected. She also contended that the speed of light was independent of the motion of the source, and perhaps that's why Einstein's suits all looked the same. So it was in this man's world that Einstein went on to claim the fame for those theories of his wife. But it was in later years that Planck became very envious of Einstein, and it was at that point that he sold Einstein down the river in favor of the Central Committee. So in the Garden of Eden, or was that in the Garden of Eden? Anyways, there were these right-to-lifers going around saying, "Hey, what if Einstein's mother had had an abortion?" Well, that's simple. We wouldn't have the atomic bomb. Well, could it be that Pavlov's theories were actually those of his dog? Maybe Schrodinger, those of his cat? Louis Pasteur, those of his cow? Wilbur, those of his horse? Fred, those of Barney? I know. Freud's theories were actually those of his mother.
I'm Tom Rowan Agro with the WGXC Renewable Weather Forecast. And if you are considering switching to renewable rather than fossil fuels, it might be because of the high price of gas. Right now, Gas Buddy says the lowest price of gas in Greene County is $4.69 a gallon. That's at the Mobil in Palinville. And maybe it's because all those fossil fuels are heading up into the environment. You have to breathe them in. And the air quality is never that good around here. It's a 28 prediction for Monday, June 6th. And the National Weather Service in Albany predicts on Monday, June 6th, it'll be mostly sunny, good for the local solar panels, with a high near 76 and a southeast wind spinning local windmills 3 to 8 miles per hour. Monday night should be partly cloudy with a low around 56 and a south wind from 8 miles per hour. Tuesday, there's a 30% chance of showers after 2 p.m. Before that, it'll be partly sunny with a high of 74 and a south wind 9 to 15 miles per hour with gusts as high as 26 miles per hour. So local windmills have it especially good on Tuesday. Tuesday night, there's a 70% chance of showers and possibly thunderstorms before 8 p.m. with a south wind 9 to 13 miles per hour and a low around 59 forecast. Wednesday, again, there's a 50% chance of rain, with thunderstorms also possible after 11 a.m. and cloudy skies, a high of 73 and a low around 59. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, solar-powered radio for open ears.
The end times when fun is free. The lines will be long because hell's designed by Walt Disney. Your magic kingdom comes. Solid gold, I don't cast the glow. Yes, I guess it's reflex, some have no control. I'd rather let a laughter and tally off my dough. Canoeing up the river or out into the O. You just know me not, so not play the role. Some are lovey-dovey, I hear crazy crow. Some shake your hand, but this is called the show. I was John Doe, no, Mr. Jalico. This with the witness, and now I adore. O's got the world, cause O's was on tour. Girls gave the O's and guys O for sure. Where they arose, well, nobody knows. What do they mean? Well, here's how it goes. Those shoots got the O's. When you hold the dough, you know who you are, but they didn't know. And now with respect, they flex like a pro. You're first another nigga, but now an afro. Oodles and oodles and O's and oodles and oodles and oodles of O's. You know they giving oodles and O's and O's and oodles and oodles and oodles of O's. You know they giving oodles and O's and O's and oodles and oodles and oodles of O's. Last of the fast plug pipers at the show. In your eyes burning like rubbing alcohol. Native is the tongue that speaks the guacamole. Kinfolk with platers and stereo. Chant is played a part of a herd at a show. Pots prints the piece on his jeans or Devos. But let the herd know if beef they want to throw. Lunches of punches is what I bestow. Oodles of O's enhance my hoes and my checks. O's take the shape of medallions and specs. Don't forget the O's that let the air in my nose. Breathe in the fresh as the stale hit the road. Girls ask for flicks and I'll block the poles. Eat the owl greens, won't sniff the curtain clothes. Mace got something to say and it goes.
Macy O is rocking on the radio.
Now I think we're talking about the oodles of O's, you know. I think we're talking about the oodles of O's, yeah. We're talking about the oodles of O's, you know. I think we're talking about the oodles of O's. I think we're talking about the oodles of O's, you know. I think we're talking about the oodles of O's, yeah. We're talking about the oodles.
like to play macho, you know. Guns go in bow, people hit the flow. Don't have a piece but an arrow and bow. Targeted firm, cause I'm here Comancho. Charging barricades like a raging rhino. The donuts come big and some in jumbo. The landlord is finished, but before I go, I give a shout out to Quest and my fellow jungle bro.
Not by the dock of the bay, by the show. Swimming in the rhythm of the hottie hottie ho. Punk Pinocchio's gotta go, gotta go.
What's the reason?
To be cheerful. Season is grease, time to pimp promo. Nuts can no flow if the shade is in the go. On with me hat, dreadlock is heading out the door, y'all. We're selling those, y'all. We're selling those and O's. We're selling those at the corner store, y'all. We're selling those, y'all. We're selling doodles and poodles and poodles and poodles of O's, y'all. We're selling those, y'all. At the corner store, we're selling those at the corner store, y'all. We're selling those, y'all. At the corner store, we're selling those and O's and O's, y'all. We're selling doodles and poodles of O's, y'all. We're selling doodles and poodles of O's, y'all. We're selling doodles and poodles of O's, y'all.
Next, we hear a jazz classic from Ornette Coleman. The song's called Focus on Sanity from the 1959 album The Shape of Jazz to Come.